was stealing clothes and looking hungry, buying incense and fake palm trees. You were nervous. Tell me about your new religion. Your mind was racing like two old pigeons, skimming garbage with indecision. Your baby boy's getting big, he's making noise, and you won't stop buying all those stupid toys. Like he knows the diff between a simple stick and all that Chinese ish he's shoving in between his lips.
Was Blessed Feathers, Donovan Berube and Jacqueline Berube of Blessed Feathers. Thank you so much for being here on WUWM at Night.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for,
you having
for having us.
Welcome. That was Salvation from your new album.
Right, Salvation Army. It's from our newest album, Order of the Arrow.
All right, and that just came out this year, the spring?
Yeah, we sort of self-released it in the fall and then had a proper release on Lasak. Just have that was just the spring.
Mm. So I was seeing on Instagram, there's a really cool photo of you, I believe you, Donovan, swimming in Lake Michigan when it was only 32 degrees on June 6th. And we were just listening to a story today on NPR about how the ice melt on the Great Lakes is about 7 weeks later than usual. So first of all, that's a pretty impressive feat. But also there was a something that you wrote there saying that, like most things in life, it hurts real bad, but it was pretty much worth it. And to me, that kind of seems like a motto for your life. It seems like you really sacrifice a lot for your passion, for your love, for your music. Could you tell me a little bit about your background in Florida, how you grew up?
I'm actually from Massachusetts, but my parents, by the time I came around, my parents were almost 50. My mom was 44 when she had me. So they were tired of the cold and moved our family to Florida. And that's where I grew up until about a month after I turned 17. I sort of threw in the towel and drove to Wisconsin and kind of moved here on my own to live with my best friend.
How did you and Jacqueline meet?
Well, I was working in a little mom-and-pop restaurant in West Bend at the time, and Donovan applied there, and the day that he got the job, the boss came back, and she said, "You're going to love him. He plays music. You're just going to love him." And I was like, "What do you know?" But it turned out I loved him.
Mm. So how long did it take before you guys started writing music together?
I don't know how long.
Well, we met in winter, and by that spring, Jackie knew that I knew how to record music, and she didn't. So she asked me to help her. And we had a few little spring and summer sessions where she'd come over and I'd record her. And then after she'd go, I'd add all these drums and guitars and harmonies and things without her permission. And then I'd send them back to her and she'd think, "Wow, I can't even recognize my song anymore. I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing." And that's kind
of... Took some getting used to, yeah, but I really liked it.
That's still how it works these days. Like, I'll write a song on guitar and record the guitar and vocals and then give it to Jackie to add to, and she'll supplement my music in the same order as I do hers.
Mm. And if you don't mind my asking about this, just to even be together and perhaps even to work together, you had to make a pretty big sacrifice, didn't you, Donovan?
Yeah, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm not afraid of talking about it, but a lot of people like hear me say that and they assume that I'm some like anti-religious, like punk rock, angry person. But my message is always that, you know, I respect the Jehovah's Witnesses for what they believe in, the same as I respect all religions for having their faiths in. And so I disassociated myself from the church, which is kind of like resigning. It's like resigning versus being fired, I suppose. So when I was 18, I disassociated myself. And Jackie and I kind of knew that was like saying goodbye to my family and my friend. Like, the reason why I moved to Wisconsin was to live with my best friend. So I was sort of, it was like saying goodbye to everyone.
Mm. That's a huge decision to make at that age. And how do you feel that's then channeled into your music? Do you feel, that's almost like, for me, it seems like it's almost making a lifelong decision to commit yourself to this craft. Do you feel?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly like a career choice. It was a life choice, you know. It wasn't like I couldn't write songs as a Jehovah's Witness. I could have had those things there as well. But it's something that, you know, I dealt with the consequences when I made the decision. So, you know, I'm not like some pent-up, regretful, angsty person about it. You know, I knew what I was getting into and I knew what the consequences would be. And if you're going to make that choice, then you just accept them and then you move on.
Mm-hmm. And what were your musical influences like? What kind of people inspired both of you to write music? What kind of things did you want to explore?
Do you mean like at the beginning or now?
Either, actually.
What are your influences, or were your influences?
Like at the beginning?
Yeah. 95.7 FM.
Yeah. We used to share a lot of music back and forth. I feel like Sparkle Horse was one of those really big kind of life-changing, It's a Wonderful Life album is pretty impressive to both of us, and kind of dark, but I don't know, like, we both really like, I've gotten him into oldies, like old Fleetwood Mac and things he hadn't really liked or discovered before, and I'm pretty proud of that. But now we're kind of more into world music, I suppose. What are some of your favorites?
Yeah, we collect like weird 60s and 70s African funk records and lots of South America. We love cumbia music, so we have lots of these like strange albums, and that has been bleeding into our music. There's lots of like strange polyrhythms. Mm. So the back is almost like a polyrhythmic punk rock, but we always want like Fleetwood Mac harmonies over top of it. It's a very strange blend.
That's cool. And would you like to play another song now from your new album?
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so this is one of those punk rock in the back, Fleetwood Mac in the front kind of songs. Normally, we travel around with a live band lately with a drummer and another guitarist, but this will be like a weird,
acoustic,
super stripped down version of a real song for Emily.
February of 2013, you guys kind of packed up your apartment, hit the road for a tour of the national parks. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, we were working in that same restaurant that we had met at, and we moved our apartment into a storage unit, which costs like $50 a month. And then we quit our job and we hit the road. First, before the national park tour, we had 4 weeks of like music touring to do. And then we were in New York for 2 weeks to record Order of the Arrow. And then we took off on like a 2 month camping trip. And we stopped through like 20 something national parks. We went pretty far. And we've kind of been in that same mode ever since. We haven't gone back.
And why have you kind of taken up that nomadic lifestyle? What about that appeals to you guys?
I mean, everybody wants to do that.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to be working all the time.
Having the opportunity to do that is pretty exciting. Just having this point in our life where it's okay to, we're not really linked to anything right now, so it's okay to explore a little bit before, I don't know, if we will settle down or, you know, some people say it's good to do that before you settle down. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone has, you know, their dream places and where they want to go, and people have bucket lists, and we sort of made that leap to sort of chase ours down. And whenever we talk to people, so many people will tell us, like, wow, I want to do what you guys are doing, and I want to get an RV and hit the road at least for a year, you know. And I try to make people realize that anyone can. The hardest part about all this is knowing like where you want to go or what you want to do. Most people don't know what they want to do or where they would like to live or what they want to see. That's the hardest part. And then once you know where it is you want to go, then anyone can do it. You just have to have the will.
Just go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of your album, Order of the Arrow, how did this album, do you feel like anything was different in the process of making it from your previous work?
From Peaceful Beasts?
Well, yeah, we started as like a home recording project, and we recorded like entire albums in our apartment with a laptop.
One of us would be recording and the other one would be like tiptoeing around the creaky floorboards.
Trying to make dinner.
Yeah.
But then in 2012, in the summer of 2012, we went to New York to record with Kevin McMahon, and we did a five-song EP with him. And that was sort of the first time that we'd been in a real studio. It was very stressful. And we had 5 days to do 5 songs.
And we were pretty nervous about it because we'd never done that before.
Yeah, it was the first time. So by the time Order of the Arrow came around, we did it with him again in the same space. And we had more time. And we already knew how he worked and he knew how we worked. So it was
more comfortable, yeah.
That was really easy.
You're playing a show this Friday at Shank Hall, I believe, here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I saw somewhere, I think it was on your Facebook page, wrote that this may be your last performance in Milwaukee ever. And is that true? And if so, why? Why?
Not ever. Just we try not to play locally too often. That way it still feels special. You know, when we play in Milwaukee, it's all of our friends and all of our family and everybody we already know most of the time.
I think, did it say as home, Milwaukee as hometown?
Yeah.
And that might be because we are looking into relocating somewhere else. But we're still kind of trying to pin down where it is because we've seen so many great cities and Milwaukee is one of them for sure. But we're trying to pin down where it is that we'd like to settle down for a year or a month or whatever.
Yeah, what are you looking for in a new city?
What are you looking for, Jacqueline?
Great venues, great coffee shops.
Donuts.
Laid back people.
Any city we move to must have accessible donuts.
Water, like a ocean or river or
I guess my only prerequisite is donuts. And she has all these nice romantic things and I just want donuts.
National forest close by and donuts.
Whatever.
For this guy.
And apart from the gig that you have coming up this Friday, what else is new on the horizon for Blessed Feathers? What are you working on?
Well, let's see. We're leaving in the morning. We're playing Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Milwaukee, and then Minneapolis is Saturday, and Chicago is on Sunday. And then we just got married.
Congratulations.
We're throwing the party to end all parties that your entire listening audience is invited to. No, I'm kidding. No one's invited.
What if they bring donuts?
If you bring donuts, you may be. We'll see. To be determined.
Okay, to be determined. Okay. If people want to find out more about you and your music, how would they go about doing that?
BlessedFeathers.com is the easiest way, and all the info that anyone would ever need is up there, including our email address if people want to, like, some people like to send us notes or postcards, send us donuts.
Virtual donuts.
I'd definitely prefer real donuts than virtual donuts. Man, I'm really sad that this interview took a turn to be about my donut interest. Okay, we're going to play Wide World, right?
After we tune.
Okay.
Okay, well, while you're tuning, I'll just say thank you very much for being on the show, Blessed Feathers, Donovan Berube, and recently, Jacqueline Berube as well.